This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. Please come back to this station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Let me ask you, are you growing in your relationship with God? Or have you simply settled down to a cozy religion and called it your Christianity? We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you that that Christian faith that you have placed in our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit through the gospel is one that continues to grow. It never lets us stand still. It teaches us about our relationship with others, to be sure, but it primarily teaches us about our relationship with you, O God, who has become our Father and friend in the person of Jesus Christ. Feed us this day with your holy word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Precious, sweet as the banner was there.
Friends in Christ, I have a computer, have had it for many years, and during these years it has become a very good friend. I use it as a word processor. It takes the place of the typewriter. Much easier, corrects your spelling, and all these other good things that go along with it. I can do email. I can write a letter to you if I have your email address. Simply make a click on one of the keys after I'm done writing the letter, and in a matter of seconds, you have it in your possession. Wonderful, marvelous, no expensive stamp, and it's so convenient. I can get things on internet. If you ask me a topic, I'll probably have to say I don't know, but just give me a couple of minutes and I'll see what the internet has to say. And here is all of this information, so much that I can't begin to use all of it at all. It also has a section there called games. And when I want to relax a little bit, I turn to that part of the computer, and there I can read solitaire, or learn, or play solitaire. I can play bridge. I can play hearts. Oh, there are all kinds of games that I can play. It's a lot of fun. It's a great big toy, too. Now, that's my knowledge of the computer. But then my children and grandchildren come home. Now, some of them come carrying their laptops, and others of them go right directly to my computer. And so they begin to show me all the wonderful things that I could do if I'd only learn a little bit more about the computer. For example, we happen to have a son-in-law right now who is with the medical missions down in Peru. And before the night is over, his wife has him on the computer. And we're having a conversation together just as good as, perhaps better, than we would have on the telephone. And it didn't cost a penny either. And then my daughter and her husband have a grandson of ours over in Liverpool, England, going to school there. They haven't talked to him for a couple days, so they get him on the computer. And here it's just like he's in the same room that we are in. And they tell me that if I had one other little piece of equipment on that computer, I could have Bob's picture as we were talking together. So they begin to say, "Don't you want us to teach you this and buy this little piece of equipment?" And I say, "Thank you. But no, I'm not interested. You see, I know enough to satisfy me. I don't want any more. To have any more would be too much as far as that machine is concerned." When I stop and take a look at my computer, I sometimes wonder if it isn't relating to my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps to your relationship with him, too. We have a nice, cozy little religion. It doesn't disturb us too much. We've had it for many, many years. We can talk about all the good things of the faith. We can sing the wonderful hymns and not really know often what they mean. To get any more is more than I want to know. Christianity, when you go beyond the teaching of the Christian faith that the mind can understand and with which we are uncomfortable, does not serve us very well. It's wanting to tell me more than in my own human mind I want to know. Jesus was teaching the Israelites, and there were some of those teaching that they really, really appreciated. For example, one day he was talking to them and said in the kindness of his heart, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow your tunic. They can understand that. It's something that they may not agree with, but nevertheless, it isn't beyond their human comprehension. Well, there may be one like this where he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Yeah, I can understand that, especially if I'm all worked up about some particular thing. Jesus makes sense. We don't have tomorrow. It's a good ethic. It's a good moral. And all of those ethics and morals I want to keep. That's my cozy little religion. And along with that, I will go to church on Sunday morning, and I'll meet my friends there and sing some of the hymns and hear a gorgeous choir anthem. That's a cozy religion. But when he wants to go so far as to say, let me tell you some more. Just like my grandchildren and children said to me about the computer, let me give you more. That you can see what God really has in store for you. I say, no, that's more than I want to know. When Jesus says, I am at home on earth, as well as I am at home in heaven, he's asking the question, well, what in the world is he talking about? That's more than I want to know. And here in our text today, which is taken from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, Jesus says in the 53rd verse, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last time. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept him? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Isn't that a picture? There are some things here that are quite a bit more difficult to understand than just the ethical teachings of our Lord. I like what Tim Wright has said regarding this. Jesus went more than beyond their ability to understand him. He broke a hole in their worldview with which they were cozy. Now they are uncomfortable, for he is not just a teacher from Nazareth, but he says he is the Messiah from heaven above. That he not only has a home here, but he has a home in heaven. That he was not only born in the flesh in Bethlehem, but he was a God incarnate who came into this world. How do you explain that? How do you know that? And some of the people will say, well, that's more than I want to understand. I can't understand it. It's more than I really want to hear. I'll just take that cozy little religion with which I am satisfied. Is this a picture of our culture, friend? Is it a picture of your life and mine? that God has so many more things that he wants to teach us and to put into our soul, and faith we can accept. Some of them we keep as mysteries until we see him face to face. What is our understanding of Christianity? Millions of people will say, if I affirm that there is a higher power, isn't that enough? Why must he be so personal that I am to have a personal relationship with him? Why isn't it enough for me to shrug my shoulders and say, I'm no atheist, I believe there's a higher power? Because God wants to take you beyond that higher power and tell you who he is and what he has done for you. And he wants to tell you that he has created you in his image, and you are his forever and ever in Christ Jesus. Many will say, yeah, I am a religious man, and I seek out after God in my own way, the way that I was taught by my father and mother and the church in which I am a part. But there are many ways to the Creator. Ours happens to be the Christian faith that talks about the cross and the tomb and the relationship with God of personal or impersonal. Oh, I tell you, my friend, that kind of a religion is so cozy that you can kind of comprehend it. That's not really what Christianity is in full. Christianity must take you to the depth of saying that I am a sinner and that Jesus Christ has died for me. How does that all take place? Well, I struggle as I read through the Word of God and learn more and more and more. And as I read, the Holy Spirit accompanies me. And as a result, I come to say, this Jesus is living. He's mine. He wants to forgive me. He blew a hole in my cozy Christianity to show me a lot more than I really wanted to have. But today he asked a very personal question. Will you also go away? When I begin to talk to you about all of those great mysteries of the Christian faith, that mystery of grace, that I can forgive you and make you mine, even though you have not earned it. An eternal life that you have earned. You've lived a good life, and certainly he's going to reward you in some way, goes out the window. And I say, if I'm going to be at home with God, it'll not be through my filthy works, good as they may be. It'll be because of his grace, his love, his forgiveness, and says to me, I forgive you all of your sins. Well, when Jesus said, will you go away? Peter says, Lord, where in the world would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter didn't have all the answers at the end of his life. Peter could not answer all the mysteries, certainly during those days when he was talking with the Savior. But see him grow. See him stand there and behold Christ suffering, being led into the courtyard, and he denied him. Then he began to understand what sin was all about. He went outside of Jerusalem to Golgotha, and there he saw him hanging on a cross. It was a payment for the sins of the world. You want to know how? You can only receive it in faith, that God placed on him at that time all of the sins of the world and paid the price for them. And then he says to every individual, including you and me, if you will come with your sins, no matter how grievous they are, I will forgive you. and I bring it right into my presence, and you will be mine by grace through faith for all eternity. That was the faith that Peter came to have. That's a faith that many people have, live with, and die with. That Jesus, they don't understand it all, but he has been led, this person, beyond just the Sermon on the Mount, as good as it all is. He has been led to the core of the gospel. Jesus not only as teacher, but Jesus as Savior and Lord. The other night, a family asked me if I would go to the hospital and visit with their dad, who was extremely ill. I'd had lunch with him on Thursday, and this was the following Monday. He's a man 96 years of age and had a severe heart condition. Didn't know it the Monday that we were having lunch. He said, I'm a little weaker. I'm a little slower. I don't play golf anymore. I don't even care to go out and fish anymore. But I feel good. And after lunch, he was going home and have his two-hour nap. Well, I gathered together with the sick friend and two of his sons. And I read to him from the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where the writer there is quoting the book of Deuteronomy and also the Psalm, which says, never will I leave you, neither will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And then I looked into that face and I said to him, Roger, it could be that God was going to come and take you real soon. Are you ready to die? I'm ready. Are you afraid, Roger? He shook his head. No. Why aren't you afraid, Roger? And all he could say was, Jesus. And I took the arms of those two boys, now, of course, retired, one of them and another one about to retire, so they're older. And I said to them, I want you to take a picture. A picture that will go with you until you find yourself in your deathbed. The picture is your father, who taught you about Jesus. And he did, didn't he? And the one said, you better believe it. He is dying. He's not afraid because of Jesus. Carry it with you. Carry it with you. And never let that picture leave your mind and your soul. Jesus had lifted him above the ordinary, above just the ethics, to the core of the gospel. As we live in the presence of God, we will be led day by day to greater understanding of what God has to offer us. So his plea is, live in his presence, in the word, and let him lead you higher and higher. Let him blow a hole in your little world and lead you higher and higher into his presence until through faith in him you stand in your heavenly home and see him, the Lord Jesus Christ, face to face. Amen.
Spirit of the God, for living God.
Father, first we thank you that you have redeemed us in the person of Christ and taught us what the simple fact is of the gospel, that you have come to die for our sins and to be raised again. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that when you have created that faith, that anything can be greater, but things that are deeper and deeper. We simply cannot, in the words of the human being, expound, but we can say in the words of faith, he has redeemed me, a lost and a condemned creature. Be with us to that end, we ask it in your name. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We hope the sermon you've just heard will bring peace to your life in the week to come. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent on the goodwill of our listeners to bring the gospel to an audience of thousands across the country each week. If you would like to make a contribution to this ministry, please go online to christiancrusaders.org. Here, you can make a convenient and secure online donation instantly in any amount. You can also mail your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We are grateful to all of those who show their support through their gifts and prayers. Many listeners have chosen to sign up for our e-newsletter so they can have a preview of the upcoming program delivered to their email inbox each week. If you'd like to join our email list, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You can also call this number if you'd like to receive our quarterly print newsletter, The Crusader, which features a special article by Reverend Larson. To request a copy of today's sermon on CD, cassette tape, or in print, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's sermon was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting continuously since 1936.